Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Happy Hello,
Egg Chasers!
Am I? Merry downfall, everyone. You were all warned.
Thank you very much for cramming in. It is tight, but it's more legroom than you're going to get on your budget airline home. That's a fact. Welcome to the authentic local tapas bar, O'Neill. The Guinness is a local speciality. So enjoy yourself. I'm Tim. This is Phil. This is JB. We and you are Egg Chasers, and we're so grateful that you're here with us today. I think it says everything about the game of rugby that a bunch of strangers can come together and brought together by our love of rugby, and that's what we're here to chat about today. Some people have made longer trips than others, and I actually want to start off by bringing someone up who's, I think, unless someone can beat this, travelled the furthest. Gonzalo? Oh, you're right there. Good man. Get up here.
The furthest now.
Gonzalo, hello.
Hey.
He's come here from?
Chile.
From Chile.
Genuinely incredible.
Absolutely incredible. We really appreciate it.
Actually, I have a small talking for you. I have a small gift for anyone, one of you. And I'll thank you for the dungeon.
Okay, Gonzalo has something for the dungeon.
Ooh.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Toledo Rugby Club, Chile. Good man.
Actually, it's called Rucamanque. It means the House of the Condor.
The House of the Condor. Well, you're in our house now. Take a seat, Gonzalo. Right, there's plenty of other people. Who's going to be in the doghouse and maybe sleeping on the sofa with this trip being on Mother's Day? Yeah, so I appreciate that. We didn't realise that when we looked at the scheduling for this one. JB, do you know any facts? As it's Mother's Day, do you know any facts about any rugby players' mothers?
Nick Kennedy's mum is an author.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fact.
I thought I'd help you out by changing your repertoire. I have found another one out. Does anyone else know what Johnny May's mum?
Oh.
Anyone? Fit.
I imagine she's very fast.
Not the Prime Minister. Good
Gag of the week.
Very good.
Here's another one for you, JB. Fact, Johnny May's mum taught Ed Sheeran guitar.
Is that right?
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
That's a great fact.
I'm imagining, what do you think's going on in the Farrell household now?
Oh, it's dark in the dark there, mate.
So who would have thought England are still on for an historic three in a row? It's just defeats, not championships. Ireland are up to second in the world rankings. Well done.
They're everywhere, aren't they?
And Spain are on the verge of World Cup qualification.
Yay! Now, let's just have a quick update. They're not actually qualified yet, are they? They're nearly there.
They have to beat Belgium by any score next week, and they are qualified.
And that is Belgium, who conceded 62 points against Romania this weekend.
Who Spain previously beat.
Correct.
Yeah. Louder, please.
Sorry.
Yeah, and you guys need to talk close to your mic, but loud as you can, please, Garçon. Thank you. So, I'm going to do the equivalent of a breathalyzer, because I am concerned, I'm the responsible one. I am concerned that these two might have been hitting the salty kiss a little too hard. So, I'm going to just test your mental dexterity and make sure you're actually in a fit position to actually do this. Yeah, an HIA, exactly.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to ask you some questions, but the extra twist is you're going to have to answer each other's question, if you get me.
Okay.
So I'll ask you first, Phil. Obviously, you won't answer this.
Yeah.
Which rugby legend is spending his retirement flying helicopters?
So I get to answer that.
You answer that after I've asked your question. Question two then, JB. If you're in front of a kicker, in front of the back foot of a breakdown, or entering the side of a ruck, you're said to be?
Helicopters.
No.
Richie McCaw. Is that right?
The answer is?
Richie McCaw.
Correct. Phil, Ireland's diminutive scrum half of years gone by and has played for Munster, Newcastle, Worcester, Sale and Bath is?
Offside.
Correct. JB, the small, very old, bald alien creature that trains Luke Skywalker in Star Wars is?
Stringer.
Phil, Eddie Jones is part Japanese and part what?
Yoda.
Correct. JB, someone addicted to drinking is said to be what?
What was the question now?
Australian. Correct. Phil, who is the often criticised commentator from Sky Sports?
Twitter God.
Alcoholic.
Correct. JB, once they finish their career in rugby, who has already laid plans to be a fitness expert, social media star, and deep house DJ?
Twitter God Stuart Barnes.
Correct. Phil, which fame-hungry reality TV star broke the internet with a picture of their ample backside on which they rested a champagne flute?
James Haskell.
Correct.
I'm getting this.
JB, name England's most used, or some would say most overused, hooker?
Kim Kardashian.
Correct. Phil, what small aggressive mammal spends much of its life on its back, swimming, relaxing, and building dams and attacking potential predators by biting with its big teeth?
Dylan Hartley.
Correct. JB, what type of modelling is Katie Price, a.k.a. Jordan, best known for?
Beaver.
Correct. Phil, JB's hero, Margaret Thatcher, was the UK's first what Prime Minister?
Topless.
That's our ex-Prime Minister.
JB, Steve Diamond is in charge of...
I've lost my train of thought. Women.
Correct. Phil, JB supports?
Sail Sharks.
Which means to round it off, JB supports?
No one.
All right, I'll keep...
Completely neutral.
I'll keep working on him. So let me just gauge this. Englishmen in the house, or women. English people. Right, okay, so this might be tough. Let's talk England then for a moment.
Yes, let's.
Ooh.
Yeah. Bonjour. So I'm just going to mention one of our pod rivals. In January of this year, Andy Goode said, England will win the Grand Slam, then beat New Zealand by 10 points. And the thing is, that was not a ludicrous statement 8 weeks ago.
Yes, it was. It's been ludicrous since the start.
Go on, have your minute then.
I think England, right, looking
closer
back
to
at
the
it...
Mic, closer there to the you mic.
Go. I think England, looking back at it now, can be grateful that they beat Wales.
How hard are you finding this, Phil? That actually... Yeah. I'm finding this so hard.
So...
let's do it a different way. You tell me what you think happened yesterday and why they lost.
Well, go on, Phil.
So in terms of the specific performance, England, very limited going forward, limited attack. Their carriers, so multiple carriers who are normally very effective for both club and country, were completely ineffective, and far too many mistakes in terms of both knock-ons, losing the ball at rooks, and penalty after penalty after penalty.
Exactly. It was a ludicrous idea to think that you can beat France with nothing but a power game. By the way, thank God for two playmakers. What would England do without their two playmakers, eh? What? What were they thinking?
Yeah, you lot, you're not on a WhatsApp group with him.
Well, even worse than that, I have been the distinct misfortune of sharing a bedroom with JB this weekend.
Yep.
And last night, at about 5 a.m, I was woken. JB was sleep chanting, downfall, downfall, downfall.
That actually happened. Yeah. Yeah, look.
Who thinks we are witnessing downfall right now? Okay, you haven't won the room completely over. Right, so here's one thing. Phil Kearns, was he a hooker for Aussie, Australia?
Yeah, could have been.
Phil Kearns, this was a quote from him in 2016. He said, Eddie Jones will make and break England. He will make an instant impact in the short term. After that, who knows? I've heard from guys in the Japan team that say they wouldn't like to be under him again because they couldn't keep pace with the workload. It was so intense. And our friends from the Green and Gold podcast were saying something similar on their
episode. They were saying exactly the same, actually. The interesting about Japan is he had those Japanese boys to himself for 6 months. They were full-time Japanese squad members for 6 months, and he pretty much broke them. He's fired most of his backroom team. He's got a really good body of work of failing after about 2 years. Massive impact, and then fails. So, I would say what he needs to do is probably fire himself now, and then reappoint himself. That, to me, would stack up.
I know what Eddie Jones needs to do. He needs to run the service industry in Spain. Because he needs to up some workload, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, no, let's not. Let's not.
Well, I'm sure we'll return to downfall, but I think, and having mentioned that, anyone that tried to get a beer today at the wonderful rugby ground for Spain,
Isn't it a great ground? It is a quality ground.
But, let's just jump across sideways. I should have mentioned first, really, Spain. The game that we all watched today, and Spain on the verge of history, qualifying for their second ever World Cup, and put Germany to the sword. And I've got just a brilliant setup. It was amazing to see, unlike last year when the people that went over made up about a tenth of the whole crowd.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it was only in about the 78th minute that we found the lads in Budgie Smugglers from Aylesbury Rugby Club.
How good are...
I've never seen Budgie Smugglers and a poncho be worn so well.
Now, how good is Spain and how bad are Germany? That's a fair question.
Sorry, say again?
How good is Spain or how bad are Germany?
So that German team... We're not good.
No.
We're not good at all.
I don't think I'd be the worst player on that team. I don't.
You could have done a job.
Yeah, I could have thrown it into it.
How good are Spain is another question.
They look pretty good.
But it's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they performed reasonably well, but still lost fairly comfortably against Georgia. And Georgia are still some distance off a top-tier team. Mm. They've probably got a top-tier scrum, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So how good is Spain? If they qualify, and I really hope they do, and it looks almost certain that they will qualify for the World Cup, they could be on the end of a couple of big hide-ins in the World Cup.
They're going to be in Ireland and Scotland and Japan's pool, which would be great.
Yeah.
If they qualify, yeah. But I absolutely loved the Spanish hookers.
Yep.
No. I'm trying to do a rugby podcast here, guys. Come on.
The Spanish number two.
The Spanish number two and number 16 were both awesome.
Yeah,
did anyone see the number two before the game? He was the most intense rugby player I've ever seen. He was slapping himself. He was doing those old 1980s circling the arms, warm-up drill. He was a joy to watch. And their number eight is a dominator.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Eight was pretty good. I tell you who did well for the Germans is number 14. I thought he was fairly decent.
I think number 12 did well to last beyond 10 minutes before collapsing.
I felt sorry for the German hooker today. He had a very, very tough game. Very hard game.
Yep. Let's jump back to England. Anthony Watson, discuss. Is he the answer? We saw Eddie Jones make some changes, and I don't know how I feel about the changes and... where we go from here?
The answer is no, Phil.
Okay, tell me why.
All right, the answer is no, because Anthony Watson is not the answer for England. Because what England effectively need is a ball carrier at 12. So they can't have Farrell, the Ford Farrell thing. They need a second playmaker in at 15. The guy they should be playing, and I think it's like a point of principle now that they don't, is Alex Scood. Alex Scood should be the nailed-on England 15.
But it, right?
No. Watson's a great player. Watson's probably England's most naturally gifted player on the wing, and that's where he should stay.
Is that not just you kind of twisting the narrative to suit what you want?
Come on.
Yeah. As in you don't like two playmakers, or you don't like Ford and Farrell together,
and they don't make any plays. So what's the point?
And you want Goud playing.
I want Goud at 15. Yeah.
So we didn't see, in terms of the question, yesterday we didn't see anywhere near enough from Watson. We didn't see half of what he can potentially do.
Yeah, but isn't the point, like, you've got 80 minutes of international rugby, you need to do it in those 80 minutes?
But it's never just 80 minutes. Mm. So it's never just one cap. You need to build up a long body of work in that position. Because one game, players can look brilliant or can look terrible just judging them on 80 minutes. You need 10 caps, 20 caps plus in order to determine whether someone is...
I don't even think Bath think that he is their best fullback. I think that they actually prefer him on the wing.
No. Bath.
There you go.
There we go.
But you see, that's using reason and facts.
Well, you tell me, is Watson the answer?
Sorry?
Is Watson the answer?
I liked the selection. I'm scratching my head after yesterday. One thing I do want to... I'm going to sound a little bit like a stuck record, but I just want to speak up for the hero, the legend, Chris Robshaw. Hmm. What a hero that man is. In a really badly performing England team in the last two games, that guy is an absolute hero, and I hope he's not made any kind of scapegoat. He's not a number seven.
His turnovers yesterday and the penalties he won as a seven.
I don't think anyone deserves any credit, actually. I think none of them deserve any credit whatsoever. Because, right, we're talking about bodies of work and this, that, and the other. This is a France team who's got a brand new coach. Seven of their players got caught in a sex scandal up in Scotland. Right, they're on their third fly half in four games, and they beat England. No one deserves any credit. They should go away and work harder.
No, they don't want to work harder.
No. Oh, and by the way, that's another thing which needs to be addressed. Why are England doing a pre-season in the middle of the Six Nations? They're working as hard as they would do in a pre-season.
Yeah, that now looks like a massive mistake.
Yes, a huge mistake.
So one of the big things, so reading the papers this morning, one of the big things that has been...
You
can look at the game in isolation. A lot of people, a lot of writers are indicating that the factor that has caused that, the correlating factor, is the fatigue of all those boys.
Yep.
And guys, particularly the Saracens team, who've played kind of back-to-back Heineken Cup finals or European Champions Cup finals, they've played on a Lions tour. They had 6 weeks rest in the summer, but not enough. They are absolutely shattered. And that doesn't excuse the performance, but it explains the performance,
yeah.
if that makes sense.
Come on, Tim. It's okay, mate.
I know. It's really tough. Fine. I'm willing to accept that you may have had a point, JB.
That's okay, mate. That's big of you.
Is there anybody? Is there anybody that think? No, there's nobody. Surely it would. Oh, I don't even know what to say. I'm.
well. Here's a question then. Does anyone think that England will beat Ireland next weekend? Oh, we've got about six or seven hands.
I'm going to hand you the microphone. So if you can introduce yourself and then tell us why.
I'm James. I think home advantage makes a massive difference in the Six Nations, as can be seen by previous results.
James says home advantage, and that's fair statistically.
You know what, though? I would rather be an England fan at the moment than an Ireland fan. As good as Ireland
what?
Are.
What?
Yeah, I would. I think at least England's got a bit. At least England's got a bit of drama going on. Ireland are just dull. They are. They are dull, they are organised, pretty, you know, meticulously well-prepared, rested players. What's where's the fun? Where's the fun? Do you know who I'd support? France. There you go.
You like the drama and the chaos, though.
What about the JB Cup, though?
Oh, yeah.
Don't encourage him.
Well, that's a good game to get onto.
Yes. Ireland battered the Scots like a Mars bar in Glasgow.
They hammered.
Phil, as a pride Ulsterman, your boy Stockers.
Oh,
what a season. What a start to international rugby that man is having. Right, so do you have any stats on Stockdale? Because I've got a few for you, Phil, that you'll like.
Okay.
So Jacob Stockdale now has equaled the most number of tries scored in a single Six Nations campaign by one player with a match to go.
No.
Yep. He's 21 years old. He has the most international career... he has more international career tries than Simon Zeebo, despite playing 25 fewer tests.
No, wow. Surely not.
Yep.
Wow.
So, another Ulsterman on the wing, Tommy Bowe, is the second highest try scorer in Irish international rugby history. Already, Jacob Stockdale has one third of the tries that Tommy Bowe got for Ireland in eight tests.
Bloody hell. That's pretty good.
The boy is amazing. He really does have the world at his feet. He's got everything. He's got the size. He's got the pace. He reads the game brilliantly, both in attack and defence. And that's often a criticism of wingers.
Yeah.
Someone like Chris Ashton, for example, who can read the game perfectly in attack, but defensively has got frailties.
Yeah, I think Jacob Stockdale is basically the player George North should be.
Well, he's kind of the player that George North was for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But not quite the player that George North is right now.
George North weirdly showed up again against Italy. such a George North thing to do.
Do you know anyone else think Jacob Stockdale looks a little bit like a slightly inflated Johnny Sexton?
No, he looks like... I think he looks a little bit like Crichton from Red Dwarf.
He does. Johnny Sexton, the only man in international rugby still rocking shoulder pads as well.
Yeah, that's impressive. Real commitment to the cause.
Like
that.
An episode of Dynasty. What would he look like without his shoulder pads, though? You wouldn't be able to take him seriously, however good he is.
No, he can't really take him seriously with shoulder pads.
But he's so good. He's so good. Just him and Conor Murray, in terms of controlling the game and their experience and knowing what to do at the right time.
Yeah.
They're so, so good.
I've got a theory about Ireland, right? And my theory goes something like this, which is, as mentioned before, like organised and so forth. I actually think it's only Sexton and Murray that actually rate themselves, as in they are the only guys with the willing, with like that winning mentality. I reckon the rest of them almost feed off Sexton and Murray.
I think Rob Carney probably rates himself in a bar chatting to women.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. Stockdale might be in that mode.
Did you see the comment from Brian O'Driscoll today?
No.
So he said they've won the Six Nations.
Yep.
That's irrelevant to the Ireland team because this team needs, wants, deserves, they believe they deserve a Grand Slam.
Yeah,
it's
I agree.
Let me throw that on the Grand Slam.
Irish fans, I know we've got quite a few in. So obviously you'd be disappointed to lose to England. Would you deem it a successful tournament if you win the championship but don't get the Grand Slam, losing to England? Not a success. Are England that bad now?
Well, to be fair, this is what England should be aspiring to, isn't it? This is where England hope to be. There we go. The other thing about this game, which we've not actually mentioned, was how much rugby Scotland wanted to play.
Well, Scotland had to. So we said this last week. If Scotland try and keep it tight, which is not their game, they're going to get beaten. So they took the game to Ireland, and the first half was one of the most exciting first halves of rugby I've seen. The only problem is the execution. Because there was at least three gilt-edged chances where if the pass goes to hand, it's a completely different game. Now, unfortunately, having those three opportunities and missing those three opportunities is unacceptable at international standard. And the players to get in that position, it was exceptional skill to get in that position, particularly the Hugh Jones chip and chase for the first chance. It's brilliant to get in that position, You have to finish those 90% of the time at international rugby. You can't miss three chances.
Yeah, I actually thought if Scotland were going to win this, they'd had to score early and often. That was the only way.
Yeah, and if that first one goes in, I think it was 14-10 or something like that, at that point, completely different game.
Just shows Ireland a class.
Well, it was just a carbon copy of Scotland-Wales, or Wales-Scotland, where Scotland tried everything, nothing came off.
Yeah, yeah.
Interception tries, everything came off against England. So what's the outlier here? Like, where are Scotland? I can't quite make my mind up.
There's also that performance against Australia, which everyone forgot about, which was amazing.
That was amazing. Their performance against New Zealand,
I think,
was very, very, very good.
So to summarise, their performances at Murrayfield, outstanding.
Correct. Yeah, I did see today that they've lost, in the last 2 years, they've lost 6 from 6 on the road.
Really?
Yeah. And I think before that, maybe 8 from 8 they've lost on the road.
Right, I don't want to bring the tone down, Irish fans, because you're celebrating your championship and you're looking forward to a potential Grand Slam. But there again, there was another little HIA issue.
Was
incident it? That cropped up just before half time. Kian Healy looked completely out of it and was allowed to play on. I think that will get mentioned again.
Well, yeah. Why don't I have a little bit of an interlude here with a bit of a story? Has anyone
story time with JB? New segment.
Well, it's more of a news item, but I had to bring this up. It's almost old news now, and it's not even from rugby union. It's from the world of rugby league. But when you said a man that's not quite into it, I had to bring up, has anyone heard of Scott Moore? Has anyone heard? This is one of the most unbelievable stories I think I've heard in rugby for about 10 years.
Well, if it was rugby union, it would be entirely unbelievable.
Yeah, it's actually quite believable.
Because it's rugby league, yeah, I'm not that surprised.
So Scott Moore is a hooker who was meant to be the next great thing in rugby league. The youngest ever player to play for St. Helens, would you believe, at 16 years old. He was caught the other day outside of Manchester, driving at 150 miles an hour when the police were chasing him. Two coppers had to fight him for 50 minutes, and they tasered him 4 times.
Six.
No. Oh, sorry.
Six.
No. They tasered it. No, the taser was used 6 times. Five of the tasers went into him.
Oh, you do your research now.
Yeah. The sixth taser was set off by him after he stole the taser gun. Quote unquote, you're getting it now. It was finally brought to an end by a third copper in minute 50. Right, now, fair play to those coppers. I mean, I think 15 minutes into this scrap, and after letting off my first 3 tasers, I'm like, you can go. You can do what you want. I'm going home, right? But they actually corralled him.
He pulled the tasers off.
He pulled the tasers out, right? So here might be the best part of the whole thing. I mentioned this story to someone who actually played with him at academy level in St. Helens. And, quote, he said, "Oh, Scotty, always knew where to get the good stuff from." Rugby league, everybody. Rugby league.
Quiz?
Yes, we will. We will do a quiz in just a moment, which Phil has prepared. One question, though, just because I mentioned the HIA thing, which was one little controversy. Another big talking point, which I don't think would have affected the results, so I'm not a bleating Englishman. That is now a penalty try and a yellow card. What?
Anthony Watson.
By the letter of the law, it's a yellow card and a penalty try.
There you go. Unlucky.
Do we want that to be a penalty try and a yellow card?
If it fits my narrative, sure. I don't mind.
There was contact with the head, just so it does fall into that category. It does feel a bit soft, and I am kind of against the whole double punishment. Maybe,
yeah, it was one or the other, isn't it?
Yeah, it does kind of feel, yes, go for a penalty try or go for a yellow card. Maybe not both.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's a slight similarity. I suppose I can understand letter of the law. It's a card, or equally letter of the law. Lots of you might have been out here. I was working at the. I'm not going to talk about Anglo-Welsh Cup, don't worry. But I was at the Anglo-Welsh Cup game between Bath and Northampton. Tamana Harrison, last-minute red card for headbutting Nathan Catt. I mean, props of years gone by, and I don't want to sound like one of those good old days. And I am sounding like that.
You normally do sound like that.
But Nathan Catt making the fuss he did and saying, ref, my nose. Mm. A red, straight red card is where we're at.
Yeah, I think so. That's basically it. You can't do it, mate.
It's kind of one of those where the force is entirely irrelevant for me. The force can be considered for when you're going for ban.
It's stupidity.
Yeah, I'd almost give him a red simply for the stupidity of it.
He should be red carded for low IQ.
He should be red carded for that beard.
Yes, yes. He's going for the most aggressive Amishman he can be.
Abrasive. An abrasive.
Abrasive Amishman.
Abrasive Amishman.
Right. Okay, we will return to rugby matters, but...
Quiz.
Yeah. Now, how are we going to choose a contestant?
At random.
The audience.
Ooh.
No, he's getting no more of my time. No.
Someone, I want someone at the back. That man there. I've just picked you.
In the baseball cap.
Yes.
So we got
1984. Come on down. Yeah.
Where have you parked your skateboard? Right, there you go.
What's your name, sir?
Jacob.
Jacob, lovely to meet you. Thanks. Where have you come from?
Hertfordshire, near London.
Okay.
Mean streets, sir. Mean streets of Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Format of the quiz. It is quick fire, fingers on buzzers.
So
just shout out, first person to shout out, and I am the sole judge, the sole arbiter of who gets it right.
Perfect.
Who said that? Couldn't help it. I love Phil.
More built environment.
What do you love? Why do you love Phil?
Yes.
Best looking, yeah.
Whatever. Go on, go on with it.
Okay, the first questions. I am going to tell you the name of a coffee shop.
Oh.
All I need you to do is tell me the player or players who own it.
Oh, wow.
Coffee with the Boys. This quiz is called Coffee with the Boys.
Yes. Here we go.
Okay, first one. Jika.
Barrett.
Matt Stevens. Yes!
One point Cocker.
In Bath. And Lee Mears as well, yeah. Quite right.
Isn't it closed down now? Is it still going? It's closed.
Is it closed?
The most famous closed shop, coffee shop in the world, that.
Number two. Josie's.
Chris Robshaw.
Oh.
2-0 to Tim Cocker.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
I think I've peaked too soon. Yeah. Right.
Number three. Wayland Yard.
Marlon Yard.
Love it. He should get a point, though, shouldn't he?
Anyone on that?
Yeah.
What's it? Wayland Yard?
Wayland Yard. Any of the Worcester boys know?
Oh, I... damn it, yeah.
Who was it?
Sam Smith.
All right.
Okay, off the coffee shop questions.
Oh, what?
I've kind of exhausted the list, but... okay, next question. What is the name of James Haskell's Spotify playlist?
Oh, Backroom Beats. Yes.
Backroom Beats.
Back row beats.
Back row beats.
Back row beats, yep.
Tim,
is it good?
It's not as good as his other stuff on... what's he got?
SoundCloud.
Jay, you literally cannot name any musician or band from the last 20 years.
Nothing.
But James Haskell, you'll make an exception.
Yeah.
So the current scores, Tim on 2, JB on 1, Jacob, come on.
Come on, mate.
Right, his name is Jacob Barr. You're Jonathan, you're JB. JB right here, everyone.
Hey. Jonathan.
Next question. What was Stephen Armitage's first professional club?
London Irish. Assassins.
Jacob!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Two, one, one. Next question, and I'm afraid this is the Tim Cocker special round.
Oh, it's about a player's wife.
I am going to tell you the name of a lady.
Okay.
You need to tell me the name of her rugby player, boyfriend or husband.
I've got no chance.
First one, Jess Impiazza.
Doesn't count. They're divorced.
Denny Solomona.
Denny Solomona.
Oh, no, it could have also been Marlon Yard. If it's historic.
Do we need to put an edit mark in
no,
there?
No, it's not.
3 points to Tim Cocker.
What? I named both of her ex-partners who play rugby. By the way, Jess Impiazza, right? If I was part of a agency, i.e. like a scouting agency, she must have some eye for talent. I mean, she ditches a current England winger because she could see the talent of the Castlefield. Yeah, of the guy from Castlefield.
Castleford.
That's quite something.
Okay, 3-1-1. Next question. Camilla Kerslake.
Chris Robshaw.
4-1-1.
Liked her last Instagram pictures, very good.
And third and final player's girlfriend, Amy Huberman.
Brian O'Driscoll.
Correct!
No, I have no idea.
JB2!
Yeah. 4-2-1.
Down 4.
Okay. Back to the quickfire.
Okay.
Who makes the kit for Leicester Tigers?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
B, it begins with a B. Beedon or something like that. Brett.
Canterbury?
No.
Used to.
It's like, it's a...
Cougar?
No.
Kukri?
Kukri! Four, three, one.
Is a cougar still about?
Yeah, apparently. Next question.
Next question. Which international team did John Moonlight play for?
Fuck.
USA.
Incorrect.
Canada. I'll take it.
Beardmore Chorlton, 1 point.
Yes.
4-3-2. Okay, final round. Now, this is the famous fullbacks round.
Famous fullbacks, okay.
So I'm going to tell you a game, and I'm going to tell you a team. All you have to do is tell me who started fullback for that team in that famous game. So.
There we go.
So, who played fullback for the losers of the Rugby World Cup final in 2007?
2007.
Josh Lucy.
Is it?
No.
Jason Robinson.
Matthew Tate.
Correct.
Yes.
Tate played outside centre. Jason Robinson started a fullback. So 5-5-3-2.
How many questions you got left?
Two questions left.
Here we go. Here we go.
Who played fullback for the winners of the European Champions Cup in the final in 2015?
Alex Good.
Armitage.
Incorrect, incorrect. Tim, you got a chance?
Matt Gitto.
Incorrect.
Ridiculous answer.
Anyone? Halfpenny.
Halfpenny.
Painful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Final one, and it's game's already over, but...
Right, so it's just about second place then.
Second place, yeah. Who played fullback for the losers of the Avicii Premiership Final in 2017?
2017 Wasps. Curly Beale.
Incorrect.
No!
Billy LaRue.
Correct.
Unbelievable. It's a terrible quiz.
JB won, everybody!
Yeah, pleasure.
Disaster.
So, for coming second, Jacob, where's he gone? See, there is an egg chaser's tie coming your way.
The famous tie.
Come on then, Jay.
Are we going to talk about next week's games?
No.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, we haven't even mentioned Wales, Italy for starters.
Oh yeah,
he's the most self-hating Welshman.
Wales, Italy is the least exciting fixture of any Six Nations in my mind. I just don't get excited about it.
Well, I never thought I would be saying. Well, if I thought I'd be saying in the Six Nations, there's a team that are entirely predictable in attack and have no spark of genius and are just trying to batter their way to the line, and there's one side that are trying to play offloading attacking rugby, I would never have thought Wales and England would be the way around that they are.
Yeah. And I'm with you.
And Gatland
ball is gone.
No. Gatland ball is alive and kicking, as we've discussed many, many times. Gatland ball is just the best use of the players available.
It is interesting to see the team he picked today, because he's changed a lot of players.
Yeah.
And overall, they did a job.
Yeah.
They didn't perform as well as I was probably expecting, but they got a 4-try winning bonus point, and you'll be happy. Gatland will be happy.
Yeah,
he's blooded some new players.
But that's what I didn't like. I didn't like that he put so many new people into the team in one go.
Yeah.
Because it compromises those players. I don't like George North playing well against against Italy. I mean, if you're going to play well, go and play well against England. Or, I don't know, shirt for Northampton occasionally. Just show up. Right? It's nothing. It's just a nothing fixture.
Wales, poor man Scarlets.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean that. I'm actually really impressed with the changes that they've made and how they're playing. I'm quite envious of the style of rugby that they're playing.
But Wales are another team that are on their third starting 10 in four games.
Yeah, Patchell, Bigger, Anscombe.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's just a proving ground for young kids.
Now, there were two yellow cards in this. Anyone annoyed about those two yellow cards?
Always, I haven't even seen them, but yeah.
not for the second one. I don't know what happened for the first.
So the Gareth Davis deliberate knock-on in the tackle.
Yep.
It's one of those that could have gone either way. The ref adjudicated that he was deliberate. There was intention on that knock-on. And then the other one, the Liam Williams, which I'm absolutely fine with that being a red card. There was no intent to hit him in the head. He was intending to hit him hard. He did hit him hard. But he caught him in the head.
Yeah.
Yellow card is probably the right decision.
Tim, outrage?
just general. No, it's fine. I was like, it's fine. It is what it is.
So where can Wales finish? How can the table eventually look?
Well, is it right England can finish fifth? Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
And it's not inconceivable. I mean, like, again, we've got Englishmen and we've got Irishmen in the room. Make some noise if you think England will win at Twickenham. Hey! Ireland.
Hey!
Right, so England could well be fifth. in the Six Nations.
Which is a... That is a catastrophe.
Yeah.
Relegate them. Well, just to be fair, JB's criteria for downfall, part one, was finishing third.
Third, yeah.
And I mean,
I was only wrong in how correct I was. Staggering.
I think we should venture to a really inhospitable place for a tour next year. I think we should take JB to South Wales.
Oh no, thank you. No chance.
And looking ahead to next week.
Yeah, well, three fixtures next week. So,
who's Spain? We're going to do Spain first, yeah.
Oh yes, Spain, Belgium, Spain, to qualify Belgium for the World Cup and to qualify for the pool with Ireland, with Scotland, with Japan, mm-hmm, and another.
That is going to be a beat down. A heavy, heavy Spain victory next week.
Oh, that's one thing that I made a note of. Did anyone see online the official match card report that was filed by the Spanish official after the game today?
Nope.
It was flying around on the internet. It's really good. So they just did this, like, they have to do a written report, weather conditions, result, and other comments. And so it read like this. This is written by a Spanish person in English. Weather conditions, rain. Which is only at the end, to
yeah
be fair.
Yeah.
Crowd conditions. They didn't mention budgie smugglers, but they should have done. wet, they just said. Temperature, 11 degrees. Fine. Although, even though it's 11 degrees, there's a chap that's come here, part of the Worcester Warriors crew, managed to get sunburned out there today.
Ed.
Amazing.
Another one at the front here as well. The comments, these are the... The comments filed by Spain officially for this match are: very good match, played in cloudy and rain day. Fanny and enjoy invasion at the end. I don't speak Spanish. It also said the King of Spain attended the game. Do you see him do a Mexican wave?
Yeah.
What a dude.
He's pretty cool, isn't he?
Good lad.
I love shining a light on these nations that don't get a lot of airtime, and Spain have really worked their socks off.
Yeah. So they are the only Tier 2 nation who have a coach from their nation. Does that make sense? Everyone else has got a Kiwi or a Welshman or something like that. He is the only coach who is a Spanish national, I understand. Or a national of that country.
Paid for by World Rugby. So World Rugby come in for a lot of flack when it comes to...
Only by idiots.
Pacific Island nations and stuff. People kind of like to say, oh, they're not giving them enough money, etc. World Rugby do, that's one great thing that I think is highlighted by nations like Spain and their development, is World Rugby actually pay for coaches full time to come in and change it. And we've seen that with a lot of British coaches going to, although they chose Kingsley Jones for Russia.
Yeah, well, odd that.
Yeah, so Kingsley Jones and who's the chap who was at Romania? Lynn Howells.
Yeah.
So World Rugby does some great work, yeah, and it's helping the emerging nations. I know JB will not want to even entertain the question.
Nope.
So it'll be a short one.
Don't ask it. Don't
Phil,
ask it.
Phil, would you like to see any ability for nations in this second tier tournament to aspire to play with the big guns?
I'd like to see what Georgia could do, but the Georgia games that I've seen in the last few years, they played Ireland a couple of years ago, they played Wales, mm-hmm, in the autumn. The gap is too big. Right now.
Does anyone think relegation promotion from Six Nations is a good idea? Yeah. Yeah, it's a...
The issue that I have is, conceivably, say, for example, you know, the way it's going, England could be in Tier 2.
Yeah.
Which would be great. It would be great. Coming to see England play here would be fantastic.
Yeah.
But I never, ever want to go a year without England-Wales, England-Ireland, England-Scotland,
correct,
or Scotland-Ireland,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Those rivalries are... Decades. I don't know how many decades old now, but older than any of our rugby memories.
Correct.
So I never want to see those go.
Completely with you.
So it's hard to know what the answer to that conundrum is. But well done, Spain. Good luck, and they're going to win in Belgium.
Fixtures next week.
Yeah, fixtures next week. Let's have a quick look then, Philip.
So next Saturday, all the games are Saturday consecutive. So we start off with probably the least interesting fixture of them all. It's going to be Italy hosting a big win for Scotland.
Yeah, huge win.
Oh, it's Super Saturday, isn't it? Three back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a shame. Like, do you remember a couple of years when they're all back to back and every team knew that they had to score a shed load of points?
Didn't we have
so every team just opened up and played real attacking rugby?
Yeah, we had the ultimate day of rugby. Do you remember when it was France, England?
Yeah. Was that 2015?
Yeah. So who are you calling them for Italy versus Scotland?
Scotland by 30 points.
Scotland by 30, yeah.
By 17.
Okay.
Okay.
Then we've got what should have been the big match is still a Grand Slam decider at 2:45 at Twickenham, England hosting Ireland.
Some of these tickets, by the way, were over 200 quid. You
not
would
anymore.
Be gutted, wouldn't you?
Not if I sold them, no. I'd be delighted.
So here's a question.
Come on then, Phil.
So we spoke about the changes England could make last week. Do England make any changes, or does Eddie Jones just basically stick with the team he's got and somehow hope it turns itself into the team it perhaps was 2 years ago?
Drop it, Oji. Drop Farrell. What else we got? Who else is getting going under the guillotine? Who we got? Drop Eddie.
Drop Eddie.
Drop Eddie. Eddie's done.
Bring back Hartley. Bring back. Yeah, that's the answer. Don Arment.
Oh, yes. So, Tim, you can make one change, one switch of personnel. What do you do?
I give Owen Farrell the 10 shirt. Big Ben Teo and Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah.
And, if I had to make one change, that's what I do.
I'm with you. That's exactly the change I'd make.
Me personally, I'd like to see another more athletic back row. So I'd bring in, Simmons might be coming in naturally anyway, but I'd have three genuine back rows rather than a five and a half and a
Haskell.
Seven, six and a half.
Don Armand.
Yeah, sorry, it would be
Don Armand.
Don Armand or Haskell?
Don Armand.
If Don Armand was an option, it would be Don Armand.
By the way, you see on the video at the start, he loves us. He loves us.
He does love us.
He really
does. And
then
final game of the weekend.
No, hold on. We haven't even said that. So, Ireland, they just steamroller as they have been doing. How do we see it going?
Ireland by 15.
No way are they winning by 15.
All right, then. Hear me now, believe me later.
A broken clock's right twice a day.
No, a broken clock is. A working clock's right all the time.
Come on, Phil.
I think Ireland by 5.
I think Ireland narrowly, and fair play to him. Well done.
Glorious.
And then the final game, Wales hosting France.
That'll be quite good, actually.
That'll be quite a tasty game.
Yeah.
Now, the disappointing thing, other than the first half of Scotland-France, France have not actually played much rugby.
No, they haven't.
So we saw that first half, and that was back to the good old days of France. They were playing from everywhere. They were offloading everything. And since then, they've kind of done enough. And they weren't particularly good against England, but they did enough. And England was so bad that enough was enough.
They will pick their team by lottery. They're going to have a brand new fly half. And there's going to be a shed load of tries. I just don't know how.
Who's going to win?
Wales.
France. Right.
Wales.
Wales.
Right. Okay. JB has said, because it's a very special occasion, and we're sharing it with you, that he's going to face up to reality. He's going to be brave, show courage, and not neck a pipe. No.
This is going to be a disaster.
Jay, talk about women's rugby. Yeah, France had a good win against England. And the other results happened. Tell us about the women's rugby. What happened?
Come up. Come up and tell us. Oh, okay. Not really into it then.
Right, I like to think that, you know, when someone has a concern or a worry, that the rugby community is there for them. We've seen that time and again in all manner of ways. And myself and Phil are there for you, JB. We're here for you.
We're going to do this, are we?
We're going to support you. JB has been holding on to a piece of his own identity and not accepting who he really is, and it's made living life hard, hasn't it, Jay?
Come on. So, what are we doing?
So, JB, on Mother's Day, JB's going to call. I've got your home number here.
Don't say anymore. Let's just call.
Okay, I'm going to call. This is a big moment in JB's life.
This is going to be horrible audio. I don't know how this is. Here we go. We're ringing. Hi, Dad. How are you?
All right.
Yeah, you're on loudspeaker to about 200 people, okay? So don't say anything daft.
Sorry?
You're on loudspeaker to about 200 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Dad, I've got something to tell you. I'm a Sale fan. Don't tell Mum. Don't tell Mum.
Thank you, Mr. Bimble.
I'm not a Sale fan.
Now, what's really amazing, as I say, we're blown away. Imagine what it's like being sat here when, three odd years ago, we just started talking into some
microphones,
microphones, and chatting shit about rugby, and people listened, and people didn't. Well, I was going to say, taking seriously, that would be a step too far, definitely. But listen, at least. And last year we had a fantastic time in Bucharest. But imagine, it is incredible to sit here, isn't it, and see this.
Yeah, yesterday, today, shocking.
It's unbelievable. It just shows, isn't it, being first is nearly as important as being good.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true. Have we got any... We're all survivors here. I know we've had some people that have had to go catch a plane. The stag do fell by the wayside. Top lads, we've got plenty of people here. But was anyone in Bucharest last year?
Hey.
Well, failing that, you may well have heard what happened, but... We were in the presence of greatness on that day, and we couldn't possibly finish a podcast. As well as the gentleman that day did.
Come on, Gavin.
He's here again.
Here he is.
Gavin!
Do. What's that? You want to know about Cornerstone? Who's at that?
How you doing, Gavin?
How you doing, Gavin?
I'm far too sober for this.
Too sober?
We can help.
They say it ain't over till the fat lady sings. That's... I apologise, I'm all you've got.
So, from the three of us, thank you so much for coming this weekend. Really hope you've had a good time. We're going to have a good old night of it tonight, and we'll be around, and everyone will be around, and we'll have a good old time of it and enjoy Madrid for as long as we can. Egg Chaser ties are available. See those gentlemen there if you're interested. They are lovely.
I'm profitable. I'm very profitable.
Yeah. Thank you. Genuinely, thank you so much for coming, and let the boys play. Gavin, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Right, first of all, I apologise that I don't speak Welsh, so I've had to adapt the first song.
Okay. Oh.
But if you hear one of the six songs that is yours, feel free to join in, clap, or exit to the bar. Okay. So we'll go Welsh first. If anyone has seen Zulu, you might know this one. Men of Hallock, stop your dreaming. Can't you see their spear points gleaming? See their warrior pennons streaming to this battlefield. Men of Hallock, stand ye steady. It cannot be ever said ye, for the battle were not ready. Welshmen will not yield. From the hills rebounding, at the war cry sounding, summon all from Cambia's call, the mighty foe surrounding.
Men of Holland, come to glory, this will ever be your story. Keep these burning words before the Welshman will not yield. Allons nos enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé. Contre nous de la tyrannie, l'étendard sanglant élevé, l'étendard sanglant élevé. Entendez-vous dans vos campagnes mugir ces féroces soldats qui viennent jusque dans vos bras égorger vos fils et vos compagnes. Aux hommes, les citoyens, formez vos bataillons. Marchons, marchons, le sang bleu abreuve nos sillons.
There we go.
And did those feet in ancient times walk upon England's mountains green? And was the holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem built here among these dark satanic mills? Bring me my bow of burning gold, bring me my arrows of desire, bring me my shield, oh cloud unfold, bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem on England's green and pleasant land. Cheer, na fear, na fall, a toch begal egeren, gwynd a slw, a chynd ar on i cwyn, fwebawd fan ser, siantir eisyn sia ffasta, ni og ffyr, fwy'n chyr on o, fwy'n trol, annog dy heim sy barn y bwyl, le gael ei gwyl chwn bos nhw syl, le gon i sric, fwy'n lof ac na milir, sialif can i ar on y fyn. O flawr of Scotland, when will we see your likes again? Let far and died for your wee bit hill England and stood against him. Yes, proud Edward's army and sent him homewards to think again. Those days are past now, and in the past they must remain. But we can still rise now and be a nation again and stand against him. Proud Edward's army and sent him homewards to think again. Here's the last one. Fratelli d'Italia, Italia se testa dall'elmo di Scipio, se cinta la testa dove la vittoria le porga la chioma, le schiava di Roma, le dio la creo, 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 oh, 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 key change. Fratelli d'Italia, Italia se desta, dall'elmo di Scipio si cinta la testa, dove la vittoria, la poia la gloria, la schiava di Roma, l'addio a Cuneo. Songiamo a coorte, siamo pronti alla morte, siamo pronti alla morte, Italia cavò. Songiamo a coorte, siamo pronti alla morte, siamo pronti alla morte, Italia cavò. Sì.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.